That's funny. I see some of you laughing. This is a sermon. Oh, you see the sign that says Antiques Roadshow. That's the text, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And I see the wheels of your mind turning, thinking, how can this guy get Antiques Roadshow from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10? You're laughing at one of my favorite shows, aren't you? Antiques Roadshow, Pawn Stars, American Pickers, and you know, I know the guy, I can't think of his show, Wayne Carini, what's that? Chasing Classic Cars, that's it. They all have something in common, but I chose Antiques Roadshow to put up here. And I put a nice frame around it because Rick at Pawn Stars always has to, you know, they've got their catchphrases. Anytime they bring in a poster, they've always got to frame it. That's their catchphrase so that they can, get, you know, try to get more money from somebody, don't they? But, you know, as I watch those shows, the same reoccurring theme comes up, and it has some things that I realized that kind of relate to some of the stuff within the New Testament. And so I kind of wrote a sermon about that, and we'll see some similarities this morning. We'll start with our text, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, I like that, but God, indicating the contrast, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So right now you're thinking, okay, how can he relate those shows he talked about to that passage? What makes something valuable on Antiques Roadshow and Chasing Classic Cars and the Pawn Stars and all that? Four things. Number one, they bring stuff in there, and number one, it has to be rare, doesn't it? It has to be something that is just not the common run-of-the-mill stuff. And you know, I realized I like those shows because they bring stuff in that I haven't seen before. And you know, we live in a society, a disposable society, and a lot of the stuff we just throw away. And some of y'all being on older farms and things where we save stuff, we see stuff occasionally that hasn't been thrown away. But we still, they bring stuff in, and we haven't seen it before. And those guys, they know their stuff. They say, well, this came from here and there and stuff like that. And you know, we tend to be creatures of repetition. We have to see it a few times before we remember that stuff. In fact, just the other day, the shows run together in my mind, and I forget which show I saw it on. This lady brought a bicycle in, and it was a folding World War II bicycle, and the paratroopers used it during World War II. It weighed 21 pounds, and they would strap it to their body when they jumped out of an airplane, and they unfolded it, they could put it together in a minute and a half and ride it during World War II, because when you march, you can only cover so many miles a day, but on a bicycle, you can cover a lot more. And I just happened to remember that. I thought, what great history. How many of y'all knew that? I didn't know that. I didn't know the paratroopers in World War II jumped out of an airplane with a bicycle. If I saw somebody jumping out of a bicycle, they'd be on it, I thought, you know. But the thing is, that's rare. That's rare. And I see people bring in toys that we had as kids. They've never opened it. Who buys a toy that you don't open? What'd you do when you bought a toy? You tore into that thing as soon as you got home. And what'd you do with the box? Did you save the box? No, you didn't save the box. Your mother and dad threw it away, didn't they? They didn't want that clutter around. They got rid of it. Well, it has to be rare. It has to have some background. It has to have some history to it. Thirdly, it has to have some quality, a degree of grade or excellence or worth. Fourthly, it has to be usable. In other words, if it's been trashed and no good, they don't want it no more. It's junk. It's junk. It's thrown away. Can it still be used, or is it fit for service? Okay, let's make some comparisons. Number one, the rarity. Back in Ephesians 2, it talks about the fact that these people were dead in their trespasses and sins, but God made them alive. And you know, we're like those people. We've been saved from our sins. That's a rare thing. I look at the world, and this morning, maybe 100 here, probably not. But the fact is, when you look at all of Christendom in the world, based on the world's populations, the number of people that are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, to see that number, it's a rare thing. It's a rare thing. Most of the people, what do? They're at the lake, they're sleeping in, there are probably a bunch of people still crawling on their motorcycles this morning in Fort Smith or various places. They're going to various... they're all over doing all kinds of different things. And to see people in church, it's a rare thing. It's a rare thing. So we no longer walk after Satan as the world does. And you could ask some of those people, well, you know, I don't walk after Satan. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not walking after the Lord, Satan's got you. Satan's got you. And they may not think they're walking after the Lord, but if you don't walk after Jesus, Satan owns you. And you know, to be here in church, the bride of Christ, that's a rare thing. Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, and I like the way the King James Version mentions it, he mentions those people are a peculiar people. A peculiar people. I think I took this from the English Standard Version. He says, but you are a chosen race. A chosen race. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people for His own possession. That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. I love that. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. That's good stuff. A rare thing. Number two, background or history. You know, we all have a history, don't we? We do. Before we became as Christians, we were lost, and try as we may, we cannot save ourselves. There's some mighty good people out there, you know. There's people that, when it comes to moral standards, have a very high level of moral standards. But try as we may, we cannot save ourselves. And in Ephesians 2, he reminds those Christians, as well as us, that at one time, we were dead in our sins. And no matter how good we are, we just can't save ourselves. Later in Ephesians 2:8, he says they were saved by grace through faith. By grace through faith. And that's how we stay in a saved relationship, is through faith in the Lord.
Number three,
quality or worth. Our lives have been marred by sin. And we may have even become Christians at a young point. But the point is that as we live our lives and we come into a relationship with Jesus, sin continues to touch us. We continue to sin. God makes us new again, though. Romans 6 and verse 4, it says, "But we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Baptism makes us new again. I like that phrase, "we too." We too. That's good news for us. That wasn't just us, but it was us too. We too. We for all time can be saved and walk in newness of life. You know, as we look at the New Testament, people that are not Christians, you realize they're reading somebody else's mail? These were epistles Paul wrote to Christians. And it can be a good thing for somebody that is not a Christian to read the New Testament because it tells us how to be saved, but at the same time, they're reading somebody else's mail. These are epistles written to Christians of the first century. And if we are not a Christian, we're reading somebody else's mail. We're reading things to people who were already Christians. And it tells them about the things they have done to become Christians. So if we want the things that they were promised, we have to become what they were. And that's why we as Christians can look back and talk about the promises that we will inherit, that they inherit. But if we're not Christians, if there are those here this morning that are not Christians, those are promises we cannot claim. Baptism, we too. Love that phrase. God gives us a mulligan when we were born again. Now, that's kind of a golf term. Here recently, we had the Masters Tournament. And what do you think would have happened if some of those golfers would have hit a shot and they, I don't really like that shot. Because you could tell some of them, when they hit a shot, weren't pleased with the shot they hit. If they'd put another ball down and hit again. You think one of the golf officials would have come out and said, "What are you doing?" They would have escorted him off the course. And it just wouldn't have counted. They would have been excluded from the tournament. That's not the way you play golf. We access the ability to gain forgiveness of sins when we are baptized into that new birth. John says Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. And relating it back to what we're talking about, when those items those people bring in are marred or broken, they can't become new again. You can't get a mulligan on those things. They're broke forever. And you see people, they bring in stuff to Antique Roadshow so many times, and I've heard those guys say, "Well, if this hadn't been... somebody tried to fix this, and they did a terrible job. They've used some glue here on this piece, and they've done a sloppy work. And if you hadn't done this, or if you hadn't done that, this would have been worth this amount of money." But it's ruined. It's ruined. John says Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. He fixes things. In the news here lately, we hear about lawyers and lawyers who are fixers, don't we? But you know what? I think I've watched too many police shows, by the way. We've lawyered up as Christians, haven't we? You hear that on the police shows? He's lawyered up. They act like all of a sudden he's untouchable. And that's what we've done. Jesus is our lawyer in heaven. You have a lawyer already? You have one that counts, not one here on earth. You've got one where it really counts. You've got a lawyer in heaven. Do you realize that? John, in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says you have an advocate. Do you know what an advocate is? An advocate is basically the word for lawyer. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, John writes and he says, "My little children," and he was old at the time, that's why he could call us his little children. Excuse me. "I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin." Now that's the ideal situation. He doesn't want his little children, the Christians, the younger ones, to sin. "But if anyone does sin," and he knows the practicality of it, we will sin, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And Jesus is our advocate in heaven, pleading our case. I think the NIV says he is our atoning sacrifice. And it's trying to become more practical and understandable regarding that word advocate. So basically, thirdly, what's the quality? We're marred by sin, but we can be fixed. And we'll talk more about that here in just a second. Fourthly, is it usable? Are we usable? Or have we been broken? I heard this phrase on the car show. You know, you see these restored cars and they're beautiful. But I heard this phrase too. It's original only once. You know, you'll see these old cars they find in the barns and they're in pretty bad shape. But they start cleaning them up and they start driving them. They do them as much as they can. And you think, well, somebody ought to restore that. Well, sometimes they do and they're great. But if they're still drivable, I've heard some of the car guys say, it's original only once. And so they'll keep driving them the way they are. And I think that's a pretty interesting phrase. Something that's valuable cannot be remade. Only the master can recreate the value. And that's God. That's Jesus. Is it usable? Can we allow God to renovate? And I'm talking about us. Recreate, refinish, refresh, and add value to your life. God can do that to our lives. You know, a lot of times we get wore down, beat down, wore out. But God can make us worth something again. He can restore, and He can make us new again by forgiveness of sins. We spend time with Him. We spend time in His Word. We can spend time in prayer. And we can spend time with His purposes. Spend time in His purposes. And the point that I've tried to make with this lesson is the fact that things get old, things get wore out, but God uses them. He can recreate them. He can restore them. He renews them. And He has a purpose for us. And that's what reminded me from watching these shows, is the fact that there's symbolism from the fact that God does that with our lives. And we're never, never to the point that we're without that. And the fact that 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the passage that I use so often, let's look at that briefly in closing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He says, "So we do not lose heart." And he's mentioned a lot of stuff previous to that. And he gets down and he's drawing a conclusion here at this point. We don't lose heart. And at times when you feel like you're going to lose heart, I read this passage. "Though our outer self is wasting away." And you know what? We are not the same person we were years ago, physically. Our outer self is wasting away. But what's going on? Our inner self is being renewed day by day. How do we renew our inner self? The same way we've talked about. We spend time in His Word. We spend time in prayer. We spend time in His purposes. Our inner self is renewed day by day. For the light and momentary affliction is preparing us. You ever feel like you're being prepared for something better? If you don't, you should, because you are. You're being prepared for something better. It's preparing us for an eternal weight of glory, and I like this phrase, beyond all comparison. Beyond all comparison. Anything you compare it to here will not measure up to what you are being prepared for. And then verse 18, as we look not to the things that are seen, but what do we do? What do I do? I look at the things that are seen. I shouldn't do that. But we do a lot of times. But to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are what? Transient. They're transient. How can we tell the world that? We can't convince them of that, can we? But the things that are unseen are eternal. That's what I want to leave you with this morning. The things that are unseen are eternal. That's the real stuff. That's the stuff that matters. And the fact is, spend time in the Word. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the things that matter. Yeah, we've got to deal with the here and now, with the physical. But at the same time, remember what matters. And if you're not a Christian, remember these promises are for us. They're for us. And those that are not Christians, get you some of that. Get you some of that. That's the good stuff. Why would you go through life and not claim the good stuff and let it get away? Don't let it get away. That's for you. That's for everybody. And then in closing, Revelation 3, I forgot I put that verse in there. It talks about lukewarmness. Try to get rid of the lukewarmness. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, the lesson's yours as we stand and sing.